Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Monday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. Futures pretty solid as some Mideast tensions ease. Oil falls below 83. The House passes some foreign aid. And we get set for a third of S&P market cap to report earnings this week. Our roadmap is going to begin with stocks aiming to rebound following the S&P's worst week of the year. Investors gearing up for that flood of earnings headlined by big cap tech.
Speaking of tech, Tesla is slashing the prices on several of its vehicles. That's, of course, hoping to boost sales. The stock is on pace for what would be its seventh straight day of losses. It's down 20% in this month alone. And the House passing legislation over the weekend that could lead to a ban of TikTok in the United States.
Let's begin with the markets. After last week's tech sell-off, you now have 29 of the NASDAQ 100 components down 20% or more below their 52-week highs, more than three-quarters of the NDX falling at least 10% from such highs. Jim, Friday, the equal-weight S&P relative to the cap-weight, best day in a few years.
Yeah, we saw something really interesting on Friday, which was we saw this Supermicro down 25%. That is an analog to, I viewed as an analog to NVIDIA, and NVIDIA's got much higher intellectual property. That's because it announced when its quarters coming in, and this is for the first time. Seven out of eight quarters, they have said, hey, we're doing better than expected. They didn't do that. It's kind of very similar to what happened to Broadcom. Broadcom on March 8th said the same thing. They did not pre-announce. You go back to that period, Dave, the unemployment number that Friday, that's the first time that Powell got it wrong, big wrong, and interest rates shot up. I think this move is largely an interest rate-driven move. It could be reversed by earnings, but only if the 10-year stays at 4.6, 4.7. And I don't know if that's going to happen.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's bonds. I think that we all think it's stock, but the high multiple stuff is what's going down, and that's controlled by
bonds. Right. You just think that as long as we what's the
there
level? As long as we stay above 4.5, 4.4.
We can't go above 4.7. I mean, if we go above 4.7, then every stock you see right there, no matter what they report, is going to be hurt. And that's, if you look at NVIDIA, that is the obviously the poster boy for the decline. And Carl, NVIDIA is the king of AI. So what this really is revolt against AI because the stocks, and Amazon's not being felt that badly, and Alphabet's not being felt that badly, and other users of NVIDIA. But NVIDIA is the metaphor for a company that got too high.
Our worst day on Friday since 2020. We talked about the Barron's cover, Jim, on Friday, and how they argue that competition's on the way.
Yes. You go back to March 8th. That was the day where the stock opened up 5%. It was a gap up and then finished down 5%, which is a terrible island reversal technically. But that was the top of NVIDIA. And the top came when Powell lost control of the narrative. Because Powell had been saying, look, don't worry. Employment's going to show some slowdown. Instead, we got an acceleration point. That was the 100,000 added more that Friday. And that was the peak. If you look at that peak, it actually came a day before, because what happened is it didn't close there, and that's by closing prices. But that's been the story. It's just it's interest rates. I wish I could tell you that there's more to it, but interest rates are what's in control here.
Although this UBS downgrade of what they're calling now the Big Six is about, in terms of in Golub's view, is about earnings.
Well, that was hapless. I mean, thank you for nothing. These stocks have had a major decline, and what you have to try to do is figure out whether they bounce and go back down, or they just go back down. Now, if you looked at NVIDIA, David, at 6 o'clock, it was up 17. That would have been the kiss of death. You cannot have these stocks open up big. We haven't had the washout. By the way, the S&P oscillator I follow was actually, it went up a little on Friday because we saw a dramatic increase in the Proctors and the Wells Fargos. Mm-hmm. Those are working. Lower multiple.
Right. Well, Procter, though, has never had a particularly low multiple.
Well, Procter did have a very good number rise, and the market ignored it initially.
Right.
Stock opened down 3.25 and finished up 7 A's. Because it's not 40 times. It has great earnings.
Yep.
And I think that we know it's interesting that what's not really going down are the two non-high multiples, which are Meta, although someone took a shot at it today,
and Alphabet. Yeah. I know. We're past that period we talked about a lot that lasted a couple of weeks where everybody was wondering whether they were facing an existential crisis and then kind of seemed to move on from it.
It became the favorite because it really sells at 20 times earnings.
Right. But it always has been consistently cheap,
right.
Alphabet, at least compared to its growth rate, right. In part because of the other bets and how much money they've been spending on everything else and the
Waymo.
Fact that they aren't seen as having the same amount of cost discipline or the concern about efficiencies,
right.
Perhaps. So it's always traded sort of more cheaply than the group.
But how many companies you get away with? I mean, one of the positive notes was saying they'll appoint a CFO. Now, let's say we were dealing with any other company. Carl, if they were like appointed a CFO, they didn't have a CFO, I think we'd be saying, what the heck? Alphabet has a unique set of assets, and YouTube is the one that's consistently not talked about, but you can bet that if you broke up this company, it would be worth a lot more than selling.
Well, Meta and, I guess, Alphabet by extension getting some chatter today because it looks like this TikTok for sale is going to move at least to the Senate. And I think it was, it's Evercore today. Our Wedbush says that Meta's the most likely beneficiary of any donated mind share.
You take away the 15 to 20-year-old, they go right to Reels. The advertisers love Reels. Reels is the way you reach the people you can't reach through linear TV. Now, David, linear TV is not really signifying any great strength here that I can tell.
No. A lot of sound and fury signifying nothing, actually.
Wow. Man, yeah. You're going right there, Shakespeare?
Sure, why not?
I don't know.
Why not?
I like Faulkner.
It's never too early
better.
For Shakespeare. It's 9:06 on the East Coast.
No, you're right. Absolutely right. I don't think Frank Hollis over in London, they didn't use any Shakespeare over there.
No?
No, those people, they've disavowed Shakespeare. It's kind of like Mission Impossible. Disavowed any knowledge.
Why? Was there a problem with him?
I think it's because I watched Shakespeare when I was at NVIDIA. They have no problem reproducing things. By the way,
yes. What is that?
What would happen if you could reproduce your parents? This is a new thing that I'm hearing. It's crazy stuff. You record your parents, you can have them talk to you if they've passed on.
I've said this many times. You're never gonna disappear, we could be uploaded in some fashion to the cloud and then recreated,
or
at the very least, to your point. Yeah. Yes, our avatars will exist on forever. It'll be like Superman when he went to see Marlon Brando in the, and he, remember the crystals? Remember
no,
the original
I re-
Superman?
I remember when...
Marlon had taped all those things for Superman to remember. It'll be like that.
Okay.
Jor-El, Kal-El.
Yes. Don't forget where you're from, who you are.
I was thought you were going upriver in Apocalypse Now. I didn't know you were headed there.
Oh, I can go there, too, if you want.
Okay, I see you.
That was a Brando. It's a different Brando.
I see you, Brando, and I raise you Tesla.
Yes.
Because, you see, Tesla, you mentioned existential crisis earlier.
Mm.
What else is there to think about here?
I guess the fact that apparently, if it only drops another 20 points, its market cap may be exceeded by that of Toyota, should Toyota maintain its current market value?
That is 100% wrong. It has to drop 27 points.
27 points.
Yes, yeah. It is, David.
Barron said the number's around 120.
I mean, Barron had 430 articles about, I mean, wow.
I mean, by
what
the way, who cares?
To Barron?
I had no, I actually had not focused on Toyota's market value being that high.
Toyota has really good EV.
Given that Tesla is still tenfold that of GM or Ford in terms of its market value.
The Street was looking for 5,000 cyber trucks a week, and we've had a recall of 3,878. I think I'm calling that below expectations.
Cutting prices in China again, Germany. Postponing the trip to India and his meeting with Modi. Li actually matches some of those price cuts in China, Jim.
I know.
That was down 7 pre-market.
Has it occurred to anyone that maybe he has to advertise?
A year ago when we sat down for an interview right after the annual meeting, he had said he would start to advertise, but they never really followed up on
that. Never did.
But he did say they would consider doing it. I remember because it was sort of newsworthy, and I followed up with a couple of questions, but then... Nothing.
Nothing. You would think that Knicks Sixers game, he'd have Cybertruck ads. Good numbers in that one.
Would that have been the game?
That would have been the game.
Yeah.
That would have been the game.
Meanwhile, the UAW gets a victory at this Volkswagen plant in Tennessee, moving on to Mercedes in Alabama.
Perfect. That's the whole reason why they went there. I mean, remember, if you talk about why did they move there, which is, of course, totally inconvenient versus Michigan. And, well, it was to avoid this precisely this. Ford reports this week. Ford is an inexpensive stock. Remember, Ford and GM, if you get out the non-financials and the S&P, they're right there at the bottom. I mean, they are, they're hideous. And they need to show that they think their stocks are cheap. Now, GM has done a better job because it's got that monster buyback. But Ford's cheap, and I hate it's not. I hope it's not cheap for a reason.
The reason being?
That it's doing poorly. Remember, they have ICE, and they have hybrid. They have the F-150.
Lightning.
The Lightning.
And their core legacy business is 90% financed.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's pretty good business, as long as you can get people to buy.
Right.
Look, I happen to think that Ford is the cheap. My Chapel also owns it. Has it been a disappointment? I don't know. Is nothing a disappointment these days? Have you seen, Carl, the percentage increases of a lot of the techs this year? They're like one. I mean, you could be doing better in the 2 year. Yeah. In the 2 year, David, the 2 year's got a high multiple.
And there are plenty of people who have taken advantage.
What do you think about the 5% 2 year coming? Because we got a slam bang auction coming up, man. See that? We got the 2 year, mm-hmm. which people think is going to yield 5%. We have a 10 year. That one's got a hold. The 10 year has to hold. We have a 2 year, we have a 5 year, and we have a 7 year. So you're looking at a gauntlet there of Tuesday being a 2 year, five. David, why is the 2 year different? Why is Tuesday different from any other day? It's because the 2 year is going to go to 5%. That's why.
You think it will? We're going to be focused again, once again, on auctions the way we were not that long ago, but
like 1996.
There is this concern overall, as you well know, that at some point we may hit some sort of an air pocket, given the overall concerns about $34 trillion or more in overall debt and the interest costs for the budget in terms of what that's going to mean. So
it's March 8th again. I'm telling you, March 8th. That was when rates started, where people realized that the Fed had no control. They were still talking about cutting. That was ill-advised.
Although it wasn't based on the movements in the Treasury market, per se, as much as it was the economic data.
Yes, yes. Well, I mean, remember, we got a number that showed with 100,000 extra jobs, barely any wage growth on March 8th. That was the time to tighten. Instead, they're talking about cutting. Could you be more wrong?
Whoa, really? Could you be more wrong? You're already going there?
Well, that was a book I've been totally in praise of.
Yes, you have, of Powell.
Turned out that his view was not much ado about nothing.
Well, with friends like this.
Well, you want me to say Merry Wives of Windsor? I mean, what do you want me to do? I mean, if you prick us, do we not bleed? You clown.
We're going to get a GDP number on Thursday and PCE Friday. Just part of our very busy week setting up. When we come back, a closer look at TikTok following the House passage of that legislation that could force a sale or ban the app in the U.S. Bunch of news today. Verizon, Truist, Salesforce, Nike. Got some calls on Cisco, Amazon, and Apple. When we return...
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable, high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
There is plenty of creativity on TikTok. There are people that make their living off of TikTok as social influencers. I don't want that to go away. I simply want to make sure that the individuals pulling the strings are not ultimately functionaries of the Communist Party of China.
I understand, and but giving, even with this significant bill, the timeline is such that it doesn't take it away as a risk for the election. And it seems the U.S. government is so limited in so many ways when it comes to these election influence efforts.
The timeline of giving, this can be a complicated transaction, to give it up to a full year, I think just from a business standpoint, makes sense.
That's Senate Intel Committee Chair Mark Warner yesterday on Face the Nation after the House did pass legislation over the weekend that could ban TikTok in the U.S. unless ByteDance sells its stake in the app within 9 months, possibly extended to a year. The bill now goes to the Senate, Jim.
Yeah, look, I think that the information and the evidence, not there. I think that there's an understanding from Chinese hacking that you cannot trust China in any way, shape. The Chinese hacking has accelerated. David, it's almost unstoppable. So here's a form of Chinese influence that, let's just say, could be, but there's no real hard evidence. But if you think that you want to maybe cut down on cyber attacks, maybe you go after them here.
That has certainly been the case made by those who believe that the app should not in any way be able to operate in the U.S. as long as it's part of an overall Chinese company. ByteDance, as we pointed out many times, of course, an incredibly successful private company that, by the way, makes enormous profits in China itself through its apps there. Douyin being one of the key names, competes with the likes of Alibaba, actually has a value that is far above that of the public market value of Alibaba, just to put it in perspective, at least based on the last round. And if you even put a multiple on some of the numbers I hear in terms of the profitability of ByteDance, I say that because there are those who say, well, you know what, even if they were to close down the U.S., it wouldn't impact the company as much as you might think.
Right.
Although the value, obviously, is, you could argue, is quite high for TikTok, given its popularity in the U.S. And then we come back to this process that was outlined a bit by Mark Warner, and that very well may be very close in terms of actually playing out here, which there is a hope somehow that ByteDance would be able to sell the U.S. By the way, the bids that may be existing from Mnuchin's group or Bobby Kotick or and something he would put together are for all of a TikTok outside of China. It would be similar to what was done 4 years ago or the attempts that were made 4 years ago.
The General Atlantic Oracle?
No. I mean, you'd buy Europe, you'd buy, it would be TikTok, right. You know, right. Sort of the English language, you'd buy Australia, you'd buy a lot of it. But the question, of course, becomes whether the Chinese would allow it to occur. You know, I brought up the idea that, well, could you buy it without the source code slash algorithm? Sure, you get a user listen, you put a lot of really high-powered engineers together to try to recreate it in some way, but you need that source code, at least for some period of time. It's just not clear the Chinese are going to let it happen.
But what are they trying? What's the goal of the influence? Because it's not clear to me who's more anti-China, Biden or Trump.
The goal of what influence?
Well, if you want to try to influence the American people, what are you going to influence them toward, like RFK Jr.? I mean, honestly.
You can just sow and create dissent. That's all. I mean, necessarily need to favor one or the other.
Yeah,
if you
can just have
everybody hate each other, it's probably pretty effective.
Well, I mean, I don't think that it needs that TikTok's help.
Yeah, that may be the case, Jim, but there is a very firmly held belief amongst those who advise some of these senators and who are involved and have been involved in this process that the data does go back to China, despite, of course, the continued protestations of TikTok itself, which says absolutely not and has moved so much of its data to Oracle's servers, for example.
Right.
And it's spent an enormous amount of money to do that. One reason why the U.S. business is not nearly as profitable as it might otherwise be, because they've been spending so much on CapEx related to this effort to try to convince the political authorities that, in fact, they are not a backdoor to China.
Well, then it's just a message.
You can't do
it's
it,
just
though.
A message.
You can't convince anybody. There's always this belief based on the Chinese actions you were just talking about that they'll always find a way.
We can't punish them cybersecurity because they've gotten through every single method that we have. So maybe punish them TikTok. I mean, you punish them on the Blackwell at NVIDIA. You punish them wherever you can, but we don't have a lot to punish them. We can boycott their stuff, but...
I mean, this thing could get signed really soon, right, Carl?
Feels like it's almost all the way there.
Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you. Look, you want to know what to do? Buy Meta.
Buy Meta.
Don't outthink this. Buy Meta. Zuckerberg. Coming to town, really, for the Time 100?
Nice.
We don't know for certain.
You gonna corner him?
Of course. He doesn't corner me first.
Exactly. We will get Cramer's Mad Dash and countdown to the opening bell. One more look here at the pre-market as a consequential week kicks off with the futures in the green. Don't go anywhere.
You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system up to a 313-mile range and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
All right, let's squeeze in a Mad Dash before we get to the opening bell and start trading here for the week. Let's talk a little Apple.
Yeah, a lot of tepid defense. I mean, the stock obviously broke down to 165. A lot of people talking about that's the end of the technicals, therefore it can't rally. Well, Morgan Stanley comes out and says, don't worry about it. Volatile market, tricky setup, but they think that March quarter will be good, but the guide will be bad. Now, the Bank of America, on the other hand, says expecting a strong Q2, but the guide could be lower. Hmm. And then Wells Fargo, signature pick. I read this piece. There's nothing good about it, but they like it. Now, David, so, put them all together. You got 24 times earnings, 24 times earnings, and 29 times earnings. David, you mentioned me Procter earlier. This is a company, Apple, that needs to sell at a lower multiple if the bond market doesn't behave. So I keep coming back to the bond market only because I think that if you get a 24 times earnings and a decent guide, which I don't expect you to do, and they don't like the guide that much, then you can hold where they am. I still think where they are. I still think you can go to 160 without a problem.
You do?
Yeah. I just
we're getting closer and closer to June when we will get at least what we expect will be some significant information about their plans when it comes to generative AI.
And everyone's so bullish about that meeting, and I don't think that's the way to look at it. I think you have a new phone, the 16, and that's what I care about. The Vision Pro, David, has disappeared from the narrative. I think that that's a shame. That's a business-to-business product that they seem to think is a consumer product. Very important. But this is, again, a defense based on nothing. And I don't like that. There's nothing here that makes me want to buy Apple.
A bit of a wait on Apple earnings. They come on May 2nd. Let's get the opening bell here and the CNBC real-time exchange of the big board. Amplify ETFs and Samsung Asset Management celebrating the launch of the Amplify Samsung SOFR ETF at the NASDAQ. HashiCorp launching the infrastructure cloud to unify its products onto a single platform.
Oh, my. You know who else wants to do that? Of course, is Salesforce. And by not having Informatica, you don't have to include that, David, in the platform.
You want to talk Salesforce right off the bat?
I was using a kind of a segue from the NASDAQ. I thought it was pretty cool, actually.
Well, I'll turn to you in terms of Salesforce overall and the fundamentals of the company. But, of course, we did see the stock of Salesforce decline pretty dramatically early last week on reports that it was in talk to buy Informatica. It's a public company, although controlled by Permira Private Equity. Informatica comes out this morning and says, we're not talking. Although Informatica's policy is not to comment on market rumors or media speculation, the company announced that it is not currently engaged in any discussions to be acquired. Salesforce is rebounding. There's part of the statement. They also came out, by the way, with just an update on their business and financial conditions as well, in terms of saying the business continues to be very strong, and they will discuss first quarter results on May 1st. But again, they shared that with us. Salesforce is rebounding, Jim, on that news.
Well, I think that we had a bunch of activists who were really gladdened by the fact that Marc Benioff, CEO, was saying everything about not spending a lot of money, about putting cash back in, trying to keep the stock-based compensation lower. It had gone from $10 million down to $6 million. This would have been a different narrative, and I think that the fact that the stock's only up 5 is terrible. I mean, it fell 30.
It did fall. It did fall more appreciably. It did. There was a belief, I think, amongst men that there would not be large acquisitions. This would have been a fairly large one, not nearly as large as their biggest, of course, which was Slack of a number of years ago, but not small.
No, more than
and
10 billion.
Now, the analysts who wrote about it last week, well, after the reporting that they were in deep in talks, seemed to find a strategic rationale for it, though, Jim. It wasn't as though it was out of the blue.
Well, look, I think it's been great at finding corrupt data. I remember pulling them aside and them telling me we would have seen the Wells Fargo fraud because we were able to demonstrate exactly how it occurred on a repeated basis. And no one else made that claim. That Wells Fargo fraud car was conceived to be impossible to find. Informatica spotted it by just looking at a pattern. And they weren't even in on the deal.
Yeah, I'm just reading the Barclays desk this morning. While there might be some investors who are still a little aggravated that CRM tried to make a meaningful acquisition after so much pushback, others will be happy to see that they had some price sensitivity in their acquisition strategy.
It made me feel like it was almost a trial balloon. It's like, hey, let's just show people we have discipline.
It very much feels that way. Again, the early reporting was the stock was above where they perhaps wanted to, what they were willing to pay for it. But again, one of those situations where the markets learned about something and obviously it never happened. And so the stocks have readjusted a couple of times here. But to Jim's point, Salesforce has not taken back all of the losses that seemed to be perhaps a result of concerns amongst investors that he was that Benioff and the management team were once again on an acquisition. You
know, my understanding is it's doing well. The bellwether for this week, I think, will be the one that people aren't focused on enough, which is you've got ServiceNow. And ServiceNow's on Wednesday, and we have every indicator that ServiceNow is doing very well. Yeah. So the question is, will the bond market allow that stock to move higher? I keep coming back to the bond market because I don't want to lose sight that the market peak came when we thought that there was going to be more rate cuts. And I know it seems almost pedestrian to focus on that, but it is the best prism to look at these high multiple stocks, both good and bad.
Now we'll present the same evening that IBM does, which is also getting a little bit of a curtain raiser on the tape today.
Well, I do think that the difference between IBM and the rest remains the fact that it has a price earnings multiple below 20, and so therefore can rally. In the same way that I find that there are industrials that have plus 20%, 20 EP, P that are going down, and then there's ones that have below 20 and they're going higher. It's about inexpensive stocks that are less affiliated with the bond market. Let's put it that way.
We should hit Verizon earnings, guys, because it is one of the names, at least as you take a look. There it is on Monday. We got it this morning. And it's being well received. The stock is up 1.8%. You can see it right there. Said simply, consumer better than expected, business maybe not, but consumer more important than business. Therefore, stock up.
I love that.
You like that? We can move on now.
Yeah. I mean, there you go.
Right?
Any implications?
All.
I mean,
verbs.
We do have actual numbers, which I thought was important. There were numbers.
Numbers? You want numbers?
Yeah. Well,
give you numbers. Okay. I can do that, too. Total revenues, $33 billion. That was actually a bit below consensus. Wireless service revenues, though, $19.5 billion. That seemed to be a bit above consensus.
Yes.
EBITDA in line, that was $12.1 billion. And as I said, strong consumer wireless performance seems to be what is driving the stock this morning. They simply lost fewer subscribers than had been anticipated. Only, 15, net losses, postpaid net losses of 158,000 beat expectations. And they were able to raise price and push that through to a certain extent. But there is a slowdown in business and a bit more EBITDA weakness in business. So business segment continues to be a bit of a drag, but overall a positive response given those consumer numbers. They seem to be, this is another quarter where Verizon has made some progress.
Now, okay, so this stock was up a buck and a half when they reported. Now it's up 63 cents. I mean, is that good?
I don't know. You're the stock expert. Well,
I don't know. Well, to me, Carl, the essence still, even though it's antiquated, is to make money.
Ah, I see.
And that.
So the green arrows are the good ones?
Yeah, but, you know, as that gain goes lower, I find it not as good as when the gain was higher. Now, that's not really talked about with Verizon because it's a bond.
It is a bond. Give me the 20-year. I like the 20-year Verizon always because a lot of people hold it for a long period of time.
Right.
It's one of those names that you could imagine in many portfolios, doesn't go anywhere in part because of the dividend, and that gives you a sense. The stock is up 21% in 20 years.
The budget deficit, David, doesn't really, are you telling me that?
Now, you did get a dividend, and that's not total return we're showing you, to be fair.
Well, then.
But when you talk about what the aim is of investing, I don't think you want to own that name over the last 20 years.
Well, how about ATT? Is that similar? Do you think that's not as much of a bond? Maybe that's a junk bond.
At least we got some, at least the CapEx guide doesn't change over at Verizon.
No. Yeah. I think.
Oh, there it is. 20 years versus the S&P.
Well.
Yeah, not good.
I hear what Carl just said, I worry about Cisco, which was downgraded.
JPM note.
Yeah, I thought that was, wow. I mean, they're basically saying you're going to get one quarter bounce from Splunk is what they bought Splunk. David, Campus Network has always been a negative for Cisco.
I don't know what you're talking about. Campus Network has always been negative? What?
Well, no, they have a thing.
Cisco has a thing on college campuses?
No.
On campuses of corporations. Where they hook everything up.
Correct, abysmal.
Okay, that's what, right.
And corporate campuses are getting downsized
Cisco doesn't even have a headquarters, really, but it's San Jose, marginally. But I'm just reading that business is the business that has not been that good. I was hoping that people would say that the new Cisco, which is far more oriented towards cybersecurity, might be attractive. Because the deal with Splunk is accretive. But
because they're not networking office campuses.
That's a simple way to look at it.
I'm a simple man.
Yeah, well, it's just J.P. Morgan campus networking is still facing problems. Splunk is accretive, and yet it didn't matter. And I think, you go spend a lot for Splunk, you get Gary Steele. Splunk has got some good cybersecurity. And this is a guy just brushing it off. Same old, same old. That's J.P. Morgan. Same old, same old. Didn't matter what they did. I don't know. That's why I came back to campus networking, but David's talking about Columbia or something.
Oh, no, please. Let's not talk about that.
Okay.
We'll leave that to the other show.
Jeez.
What? Don't have time. We're all business.
Yes.
Thankfully.
Yes.
Which leads me to Paramount, guys.
Oh, now we're talking.
Because that's my business.
Yes.
Can't help it, but being my business.
Was that a sidelight business? Is that like a... Like, do you, drive an Uber?
No, I'm not like Puck or one of those other things that all they do is follow that thing endlessly.
It's kind of like a hobby or something you do to...
The news on Thursday night, Friday morning, I wasn't here Friday, and that sent the stock up, was that Sony might want to join Apollo in its potential bid to acquire all of Paramount.
And my feeling was that had you been working, you would have killed Paramount that day. Kill Kenny. Kenny's Paramount.
Faber killed Paramount.
They kill Paramount every day here.
But Kenny always comes back, right?
He's, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Paramount always comes back. I mean, it's the same deal.
He always comes back, though. All right. Here's. Listen. What I am aware of is that the special committee, which is obviously tasked with. Right now, the exclusive bid that they have received, as we've gone into some detail on from Skydance in partnership with both Redbird and potentially KKR, a smaller partner as well. That's what the special committee is spending a lot of its time on. They haven't heard from Sony at all. So take that for what it's worth. If you were Sony and you were very much interested in being the majority owner in a joint bid with Apollo, chances are you would reach out to the special committee, wouldn't you? And they may. They may still do that, but they have not as yet.
Now, you're telling me that Sony, which was the sole reason that stock bounced, has not contacted the special committee?
That is what I'm telling you.
Well, then, in other words, the stories last week smack more of fantasy than fact.
The stories last week, to be fair, said that they were talking about doing it, but they didn't specify that a bid had been submitted. And no such bid has been submitted, as far as I'm aware and as far as the people that I speak to are aware. I would point out that in the past, when I've covered Sony and the potential for it to engage perhaps in some sort of an acquisition, the U.S. Sony may want to do something, but it's got to get permission from the Japanese Sony. And that permission is not always, or that acquiescence is not always forthcoming.
Does Sony America not always, have the money to
no,
do it?
No, they need, they're wholly owned by Japan. They need their Japanese headquarters to say, go for it.
Okay.
And in this case, it's unclear whether that's going to be the case. So you can have a situation where Sony US would love to do something, but Japan says, no, we're not putting the capital out for that. I don't know, but all I can tell you at this point is that that there has not been a bid received. There has not been any contact between Sony and, again, the special committee that is working on and looking at and is tasked with a very difficult job, by the way, that I went into some detail at describing, right? They've got to figure out what the value of Skydance is. They've got to figure out and check and do due diligence on Skydance and all the cost savings that the Ellison Skydance Group says they're going to be able to actually bring to the fore. And they've got to make some sort of a decision about what Paramount shares are worth with the status quo. Maintain. So it's a hard, and they're going to have all these shareholders who are ticked off at them regardless, because you get these headlines out there that say, hey, we might pay $29 billion for this thing. People back into math, which there's no details on, by the way, as to what the premium would be for the A's versus the B's. Nonetheless, they back into it and say, why wouldn't we want to just take a far higher stock price? So it makes life a lot more difficult for that special committee.
Why can't Andy Jassy, watching the show right now, say, look, I want an NFL, so I get, you know, Jim Nance and company. I want March Madness, all right? I want the Masters, and I also get some really good soccer. Why doesn't he want that?
I think meaning what, Amazon buying Paramount?
Well, I'm just saying that Andy Jassy has said my Thursday night NFL and the Friday, the Black Friday, were the two most impactful things that have happened for Prime.
I think Andrew posed that question to Jassy the other day, and Jassy's response was, we're quite happy with our content offering at the moment. Well, I think actually the question was more about, was it MGM library? I can't remember what part of it was.
You know, I mean, they bought MGM, and frankly, if Amazon wanted to strike, they might be more interested, if they really wanted to, in buying Warner Brothers Discovery.
Well,
but they're not going to.
It's a refinance.
And by the way, the regulators are not going to allow them. Last I heard, the regulators actually are suing them for being anti-competitive overall.
It's a
tough environment in which to go out and make a large acquisition.
Well, I think when you look at the value of sports, it just seems to increase every day. I mean, I think that we work, obviously, for Comcast. I think that you're going to see numbers for the Olympics that are going to say, well, holy cow. I mean, maybe sports are even more important than we thought. That's what I think look, Andy's a smart guy, and I know he's not going to do anything stupid, but I also know that he loves the NFL.
We are going to get Comcast earnings on Thursday. Speaking of some of this, Jim, regarding M&A and regulators, ACI out with a small beat, I think 54 over 51, with an amended divestiture plan on Kroger.
Well, look, this is one I think that this is about Costco, Walmart, and Kroger. And Kroger, by the way, has had a huge run here because they had a great quarter. Albert's is not as clear. Kroger, David, how often have you seen a situation where Kroger just doesn't need to buy Albertsons?
They'd like to, though.
Well, I think that there are issues, but they have to remember put the anything spin off with a really well capitalized, not some sort of PE.
Right. I mean, their point is that the divestiture package, and by the way, again, they say they're even improving it, would have created a true competitor, would have been well capitalized, as opposed to some of the deals we've seen in the past, and it's a continued fear of antitrust regulators that you're not creating a real competitor when you do these divestitures.
They're right, the regulators.
And then their argument has also been that we don't compete against Albertsons, we compete against, to your point, Walmart and Costco. Walmart. They are the largest competitors. We would be more able to compete and more likely to lower prices or make the experience better for consumers, rather than being on a run.
Well, Roddy McMullen has made this point over and over and over again, which is that, by the way, no layoff of union jobs if the president is a union president. But I think that the stock, Kroger, acts like they can beat Costco and Walmart by themselves. But when you look at the pricing there's like, I don't know, like 25% of Kroger is below these guys, but you're just up against a different crew, and you have to realize that it's up to the antitrust regulators to decide who the real competitors are, and I hope that they're, you know, I think they've done a pretty good job trying to figure it out.
Speaking of workforce reductions, Nike cutting about 740 jobs, this WARN notice going out in Beaverton. And then there's a journal piece, Jim, which takes Donahoe to task for not just lack of innovation, but turning their back, some argue, on the wholesale model in favor of an e-com model that didn't really materialize.
If you want a bottom in Nike, it's that piece. That piece was the sum of all fears, Nike. And I genuinely think that Nike's a great company. David, the stock has been a total loser. And yet they come in now with a negative article. I find that's a bottom.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
You're a buyer on the journal trashing them?
Yes. Okay. Period. End of story.
That's as good an indicator as any.
Well, there was nothing in there that I didn't know. But when you put it all together, it sounds like Nike's lost its way, right? Well, I'd like to lose my way like Nike. They, by the way, made a pretty good sign up the other day. I don't know if you caught that.
Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the most important sign. Yeah, 12 million people watched. You know, think of the numbers of who watched. I mean, I want a Caitlin Clark shoe.
Did the journal put a $28 million?
Is that the number? Yeah, I had not. Yeah.
It was 10 figures.
How many men will buy this? I bet you're surprising them. It's the first time. People thought this was going to happen years ago. It's happening.
You don't need men to buy them. You just need women to buy them.
She's the most exciting person. What, you think that Brunson's more exciting than she is?
No, I never said that Brunson was.
Okay. I rest my case.
But, yeah. But it's going to be good when we beat you guys again tonight.
Is David, it
tonight?
We got to go on that.
Yeah, it's tonight.
Take a look at the bond market this morning. We're in a bit of a blackout window now ahead of the Fed's next decision on May 1. 10-year was still climbing a little bit before the open. Yeah, just about 4.64 as we're still 9 points shy of S&P 5K. Don't go away. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
Hilarious piece of the Financial Times about Ken Griffin attacking DJT and the CEO, a former congressman. He says that Donald Trump's media business is a loser. And what's interesting is that, remember, if you remember, Ken Griffin got caught up with the GameStop. So here he is going up against another one that's heavily shorted. A guy can't, I guess he can't stay away from controversy. You got to hand it to him.
Nunes?
No, you got to hand it to Citadel. I mean, he's right. Ken Griffin's right there saying, look, this thing is basically a joke. I don't know, David, you know, kind of a joke.
Yeah, listen, it is though a potential, it is a potential nest egg of enormous wealth for Donald Trump himself. Made the point many times, 78 million shares, another 40 million right behind that, roughly. He's arguing with his partners about whether they, even the 10% that they own of TMTG is actually theirs or not his. But yeah, the fundamentals speak for themselves.
Right.
Citadel, for its part, what a business they have.
They should stick with their own business.
You know, they run very differently than does, for example, Millennium, which is all separate teams. They are all, they have separate teams, but they orchestrate the leverage for each of them and obviously share data. Anyhow, he's done an incredible job is all I mean to say.
He's the best there is. There's no doubt about it. And by the way, mega donor to the Republican candidates, but favored Nikki Haley. Look, I just think that this is one we have to keep track of because if they are able to break up the lockup, then suddenly Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, or the usual states, the seven states, the Magnificent Seven, there must be one. Boom, I got Barrick Gold on tonight. Gold's down big today. I think a lot of people worry, why haven't the gold stocks participated with the price of gold? So let's ask Mark Bristow.
Indeed, yeah, worst day of the year so far for the yellow metal.
Amazing. Gym.
We'll see you tonight.
Thank you.
At 6 p.m.
Thank
Eastern
you very much.
Time as we watch the markets here ahead of a busy week. Dow's up 66. Don't go away.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.